Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations. Today is Monday, December 11th, 2017, and I am Dave Hamilton, sitting in for Mr. Jeff Gamet, who is not here today, but here today I have Mr. Brian Chaffin. Brian, thanks for joining me.
Hey, man, thanks for having us. It's been a great Groundhog Day so far, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Groundhog Day came early for many of us this year. Also here, John Martellaro. John, thanks for having us.
I know exactly what he's talking about. Nice to be here. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for asking.
I'm good.
Our sponsor for today is VideoBlocks. We're at videoblocks.com/TDO. You get access to their triple bundle pricing. We'll talk more about that in a minute. First, though, I want to talk about Johnny Ive's return to heading up Apple's design team in a more active way, something we've talked about quite a bit on this show over the years, with some speculation that, at least in hindsight, might turn out to be true. Brian, why don't you start us down that path?
All right. So Bloomberg's Mark Gurman reported that Johnny Ive was stepping back into his day-to-day operational role at Apple's design team. And so what that means is that the two vice presidents that had been reporting directly to Tim Cook are still with Apple. They're still part of the Apple design team, but now they're reporting to Johnny again, and Johnny is not messing with the Apple Park. And Apple confirmed this to Bloomberg and said that, yes, you know, Apple Park's done. So, you know, Johnny Ive's back in his normal job. And, you know, so this is like essentially turns out that I was right, and that a big part of why 2016 was such a miserable year as an Apple fan, and why Apple put so few products, 14 of them, in fact, out during that year, and why we've seen a lot more products already this year. This year's over with. But anyway, this makes for a good end, in my opinion, for 2017, and it. I'm hoping that we're going to, you know, continue to see some additional good things coming out of Apple in the next few years.
Well, and I mean, from what they're saying, Johnny has only very recently returned to doing this, right? It's not that this happened months ago. So perhaps even the products that we've seen this year aren't even indicative or a result of Johnny being in charge.
This is true, but the entire design team was involved with certain aspects of Apple Park.
Gotcha.
And that design process, I think, ended, say, in the middle of 2016 or towards the end of 2016. You know, the Fosters Plus Partners, the architectural firm that built Apple Park, very specifically credited the entire design team, Johnny Ive and the design team, as co-creators of the Steve Jobs Theater. Well, it's because they were working on it.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
Right.
Fair point. You're right.
You don't casually, like, when at this level of architecture and stuff, you don't casually throw out such things. And so I think that sucked up their time, but that part of the process for Apple Park ended earlier than Johnny Ive's time. Plus, you know, he may have taken a little time off.
As one is wont to do, perhaps.
Sure.
Yeah. John, what do you think about all this? What are you looking forward to?
When you have one person who's really precious, like Johnny, who has, from time to time, needs to go back to the UK or wants to, you know, take a vacation or something, you got to kind of cater to that. And I think the reason he got moved upwards a little more, it was so that he would have that personal liberty and wouldn't want to leave the company or wouldn't feel stressed out. And that allowed him, as you said, Brian, to focus on the Apple Park. And the net result was it's just too many plates were spinning. And the Macintosh was probably the first fatality of that. I saw a related article over the weekend about Johnny giving a presentation in Washington. And he said, in response to criticism, especially of the MacBook Pro, absolutely, all of your feelings and feedback around the MacBook you use, we couldn't want to listen more. Boy, do we hear you. Wow. So I think that all the criticisms of the MacBook Pro, the USB-C ports, the lack of power, got dropped through the cracks, and all that discussion that Brian and we had in 2016 about the MacBook Pro not being up to speed, not enough memory, not enough power, too many dongles, I think probably was because, I'm guessing, the people who were designing it didn't have Johnny's final imprimatur on the situation.
I don't know that I would blame the dongle transition on that. I think that's a necessary step in getting to USB-C as an interface.
Yeah,
I think that would have happened anyway.
Historically, Apple has smoothed the way, that kind of, you know, boiled our frog more slowly. Apple deprecates. They plan ahead. They tell you this stuff is going away. For example,
like they did with USB and you know, ADB and
No, like they did with the 3.5 millimeter audio jack. Long before it went away, it was telegraphed to us. And then Apple provided a dongle in the box with the iPhone 7 and 7S. And then they did it again with the iPhone 10. So Apple's kind of easing us out of that 3.5 millimeter jack, instead of just doing it all at once, cold, and leaving us with the having to go buy our own dongle.
Man, I got different memories of that stuff than you.
Mm. Do tell, Mr. Chaffin.
Well, I remember feeling Apple's not gentle hands heaving me into the water and saying, ha, 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 swim it, boy.
Well, we knew that the 3.5 millimeter jack was going away, and then
did
it was a big fuss. Yeah. And then there was one in the box when you bought your iPhone 7. So,
well, we knew it was going away when Apple said it's gone. How was that?
What do you remember, Dave?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we knew we heard the rumors, just like we did with the MacBook Pro. You know, that these ports that we were used to are going away. And then, yes, when the product was announced, sure enough, that.
But
came
then, yeah,
to
that's,
fruition.
That's rumor as opposed to Apple, actually.
Correct.
You know, being gentle about it.
Right. But Apple didn't telegraph. It was all rumors on both sides of it, right? The iPhone losing the headphone jack and the MacBook Pro becoming a USB-C-based device. But, I mean, I would say the MacBook Pro was less of a surprise than the iPhone.
Yeah, because
the
we
iPhone.
Had the Mac. Because we had the MacBook from 2015
right.
as the progenitor.
It was a pretty obvious path, not to mention that the tech was getting better on the USB-C interface side. So it was like, yeah, this is where this should be. So I'm not, I don't think Apple, I'm not convinced that they did it any differently with the iPhone. Yeah, they included a dongle, but I mean, what were they supposed to do? Include a USB-C to USB-A dongle in with the thing to say, we're sorry?
No. What I'm talking about is I think that Apple would have been wise to include maybe one USB-A port on the new MacBook Pros and have three USB-Cs.
Oh, no. That's silly. I mean, from a
transitional computer.
Yeah. So don't buy this one. Buy the next one that's not a transitional computer.
Oh, so you can use even more dongles? No, I'm not buying that, Dave.
I'm with John on this. If the first USB-C device had a mix of ports, I think there would have been a lot less complaining.
But what would have been the point of that? Think about the confusion factor from the user standpoint, right? Which port should I be using? Should I be using my USB-C port with a dongle hanging off of it to do, you know, is the USB 3 that's going to happen over that faster? Or is it going to be, you know, like which port and which port gets more power? Like that suddenly there's all kinds of questions. I don't know,
I think,
man.
What people would have been thinking is, oh, I see, this legacy thing I have does fit in here. And then these new things will fit over there.
And you're getting ready to travel, and you're throwing your MacBook Pro in the case, and you go, oh, I got to have my external drive with a USB-C port, and you grab everything you think you need, and you get on the plane, and you realize the one critical piece you didn't have because of the USB-C situation. You know,
so. Well, okay, then great. You do that. You have your one USB-A port and whatever, three USB-C ports, and you get to your hotel room and you go to plug in your iPhone to charge, and then also your dongle for the presentation, like remote control tool that you have, and you realize, oh crap, I need two USB-A ports. No, seriously, like, this is why you don't do this as Apple.
I feel like I'm on a level playing ground here all of a sudden.
You don't do this. Well, I mean, like, Apple thinks about these things. They think about the user experience of that. Like, now I need to unplug one. And now, in the user's mind, here's the thing. The user that doesn't understand what that USB-C port is other than a charger is sitting there thinking, why the F did Apple give me three charging ports and only one data port, right? Like, seriously, that's what happens. You can't do that to customers because they don't understand. If the reason is that they don't understand, you can't do that.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't operate my MacBook without the Thunderbolt dock. It's got all the ports I need, and just, you know, I can't imagine if I had to run out in a hurry and grab my MacBook, I would be hard pressed to figure out which. I've got a couple of dongles in a little zipper bag
that
have USB-A and I could plug in. But, you know, I can see how you could get wrapped around the axle, unplugging from your dock and dashing and not having what you need.
It's interesting that we're relitigating this particular aspect.
It is.
Of Apple.
Well, it was one of the big complaints. The reason I brought it up was because it's been a continuing complaint. And Johnny, I've addressed it. And my hope is that maybe we won't see any change that's retrograde, but maybe Apple going forward with Johnny Ive in charge, we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
More attention to technical needs.
Do we get new
as opposed to design?
Do we get new products because it's Johnny Ive, or do we get?
Yeah, good question.
Better, like, a smoother experience because it's Johnny Ive and
well,
time.
And how about more iterations? And how about, like, more, like, you know, having some actual change in the way iPhones look? Well, of course, the iPhone X is a little different, but.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it'd be
maybe
interesting.
Maybe two ports on the MacBook, because if that one USB-C port fails, you're dead in the water. And a lot of people think there should have been two, one on each side.
Folks, let us know.
At least in the next version of the MacBook.
What you think, folks, at observations@macobserver.com or tweet us to @TMODaily. We have another topic to talk about, one that's quite popular, and that is Bitcoin. But first, I want to talk about our sponsor for this week, which is VideoBlocks, where, as I said, at videoblocks.com/TDO, you get to go and take advantage of what they call their triple bundle offer. What do you get in this triple bundle? Here's the thing. You get videos, audio, and images to use for your business. These are things that are really important when you're running a business. You need to get images out there, right? You need to, if you're creating a website, even if you're creating marketing materials, emails, that sort of thing, you want to put in high quality images that look good and reflect well for your business. VideoBlocks gives you unlimited access to studio quality stock video, because VideoBlocks is the name, and audio and images for just $149 a year with our special offer. Normally, each one of those is $149 per year. And even that, folks, is a good deal. We've used other services in the past with the businesses that we have here and literally have paid 10 times that for just one of those things. And that was a good deal at the time. This is a great deal. You're not going to get this again. So check this out. Go to videoblocks.com/TDO. to get our special triple bundle offer. Don't wait, because this offer is only available in the month of December. That's videoblocks.com/TDO, and you get access to all this content that's royalty-free. You can download and use it as many times as you want, and here's the deal about how royalty-free works. If you download it during your subscription period and then want to use it again after your subscription lapses, now, I don't know why you'd want to let your subscription lapse, but you might. You still get to use it because you got it during the subscription. That is a perpetual license. It goes on. It exists past the subscription. Again, to get our special triple bundle offer, go to videoblocks.com/TDO. Don't wait. This special offer is only available in December. Again, at videoblocks.com/TDO. Our thanks to VideoBlocks for sponsoring this episode. All right, Brian, Bitcoin. What do you think? Think prices have been interesting on Bitcoin lately, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. That's one way of putting it. What is Bitcoin out right now? It was at 16.7 earlier today. And I hadn't checked it in a few minutes, so who knows?
Yeah, it's 16.5 now, but it you know, it could go down as much as it could go down or up any amount. It's very interesting. Why is that? Why is Bitcoin moving so much? What's going on here?
Well, so there's a lot that it's most fundamental. There's a lot of money pouring into Bitcoin, and that's driving the price up.
Okay, right? That makes sense. Well, and money and attention, right? We're hearing a lot more about it too.
Right. It's kind of it's sort of like a, you know, is depending on your viewpoint, it's a virtuous loop or a vicious cycle, right? Because as more attention gets brought to Bitcoin, that comes with money being poured into Bitcoin, which means the price goes up again, and that gets more attention to Bitcoin, more headlines, more, you know, more news stories, more mainstream coverage, and that brings more people to Bitcoin. And that's a big part of what's going on. But I think that what we've seen in the last week or so, where Bitcoin went from, 10 to 16, actually 10 to 20. And
it was, I don't know if it hit 20 over the weekend, but it was really close. Yeah.
And if I think a lot of that money is coming from Wall Street. And what happened today, and we knew this was coming, is that the Chicago Board of Exchange was allowing Bitcoin futures to be traded. And the futures market is essentially a gambling market for a commodity or a stock.
So, yeah, let me explain that the way I think of it, but please correct me if I'm wrong. What this means, they're not trading Bitcoin on the Chicago market. They're trading what they believe the price of Bitcoin will be. And they're saying if Bitcoin goes up to 17,000, you know, I'll pay 10 bucks if it goes up to 17,000, but I want to be paid 10 bucks if it goes down to 10,000 by a certain day. Is that essentially right. What's going on? So we're just gambling right. On this thing that's happening over there. We're not involved in that thing that's happening over there, although other than just being ancillarily like involved.
So like in a physical commodity market, let's say pork bellies, because everyone loves bacon. Not everyone, but
right.
A lot of people like bacon.
Sure.
So the pork belly market, the futures market is trying to be a predictor of supply and demand for a particular date. So January contracts for pork bellies or February contracts for pork bellies. And you're looking ahead and you're trying to say, you know, I think that this factor and this factor and this factor is going to be affecting the hog supply. And that's going to have this effect or that effect on the price of pork belly futures. And so that's where I'm going to place my bet.
But you're not actually buying or selling pork bellies when you're talking about pork belly futures. You're just buying or selling a contract that says you agree to pay out if you're wrong on what right. The price of that thing over there, pork bellies, is. Correct?
It's a legal gambling market.
So in theory, if I were a betting man, I could buy some Bitcoin, right? Hoping, now I'm holding Bitcoin long, hoping that Bitcoin prices are going to go up, but I could buy some futures contracts to hedge my bet. If they go down, I might be able to offset some of the losses that I make or that I incur from having bought these Bitcoin today. Let's say I buy them at 16,000. I could buy some futures contracts at 10. And if I lose my money on my Bitcoin that I bought at 16,000, well, I might make some back on these futures contracts that I'm trading in Chicago. Is that right?
Yes, that would be one strategy.
One strategy, right. Yeah.
Right.
I think I'm getting a headache.
Well, I wanted to make sure that we were explaining, because in hearing these conversations sort of happening over the weekend, I heard some people saying, oh, Bitcoin are going to be traded in Chicago. Well, not on the Chicago exchange. Bitcoin are traded all over the world, but on a different exchange or different exchanges. But there are no stock-related exchanges that are trading Bitcoin yet.
Not yet. Right. And so this move by the Chicago Board of Exchange doing this, and this was allowed by a regulatory body that I can't remember its name right now. This is like sort of a step towards legitimizing Bitcoin.
Right. And it's the first time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also a thing that, you know, sort of like rivets a lot of Wall Street heads. Like, wait a minute, hold on. Futures contracts? Oh, I want to get on that. And they're also wanting to, some of those people appear to be wanting to get into actual Bitcoin positions, perhaps brought to the market by the attention of the futures market opening.
So this is essentially a way that somebody, I mean, people have been trying for years, not that many years, but a few years, to get Bitcoin funds and different types of things related and based upon Bitcoin into like the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange or the Chicago Exchange. And the government, the SEC in particular, has said no, 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 every time. This time, somehow, somebody made it in.
Yes.
And that's a big deal.
And the result, again, was that a lot of money poured into the market.
Makes sense.
And now whether or not it's going to stay there, who knows?
Well, right.
Like, so Dave and I have. So listen, folks. I want to make this clear. First of all, we're not giving anybody any investment advice because we don't have any magical answers.
Right.
But Dave and I have both been saying for a while now that, you know, at a given time frame, we've said that Bitcoin will be worth, you know, $5,000 or nothing.
I think it's $100,000 or nothing. But
and right now, yeah, we're at $100,000 or nothing. Dave and I have been pretty in lockstep on this.
Yeah.
And that nothing is not an insignificant possibility.
Right? Oh, right.
We're not just sort of casually throwing it out. It is possible that the entire Bitcoin thing could collapse or be catastrophically compromised or who knows what.
Yep.
Or you even just replaced by something that is so, you know, unicorny.
Yeah, so much better for whatever so, better is. Right. Yes.
Sounds like Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will go wrong.
Well, not necessarily, but it could. And think that people, when you've got these kinds of increases and people are going, oh, my goodness. Like one of the things was someone was saying, if you'd invested $1,000 in Bitcoin in 2009 or maybe even as late as 2011, you'd have $1 billion right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, people like, oh, man, I want to get on that. I want to get on that. And so then they start putting all the money. I've heard people talking about like wanting to sell one of their side businesses, and put everything in Bitcoin or, you know, like I'm going to mortgage my house and put it all in Bitcoin. Okay. Up to you to do something like that. But people can get really excited about this stuff. And I think it's a very important that people remember Bitcoin could be worth nothing tomorrow.
It is a bubble. The question is, will it remain a bubble and then burst, or will it transition into something that is no longer a bubble? But right now, it's kind of bubble-ish.
It does have a lot of hallmarks of a bubble,
right?
And I gotta tweak that a little bit, Dave. We could be in the midst of a bubble. It's about to pop, or we could actually be at the base of a very steep climb, even higher.
John, we don't have a ton of time here, but I'm curious as much of an outsider to this as exists on this particular show, this particular episode. What are you thinking about all this?
Well, I'm kind of just intrigued by the whole thing. I'm not into it like Brian is. I just kind of watch from a distance with a mild amusement. I haven't dabbled in it. One of the things that did come up in my mind was while you guys were talking about the process of speculation was that perhaps this is why monetary systems in the past were backed by countries with metal.
Yeah. Yeah. And then violence, but you know, that's a whole other thing. Well, it is, right?
I mean, gold and silver I'm talking about.
No, I knew. It's gold and silver, but they aren't backed up by that anymore. It's just, you know, if you don't accept our value, eventually you will meet a person with a weapon who will ask you.
I wonder whether even though there's no gold backing of U.S. Currency, the U.S. government does have financial resources to support its finances, whereas Bitcoin may not.
Dollars.
So
yeah, Yeah, it's interesting.
That's one thought that came to my head.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not an expert, but that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. All right, folks, let us know what you think. Visit us at observations at macobserver.com. That's one place where you can find us. Also on Twitter at TMO Daily. And I think really that's all we've got. Brian, thanks for hanging out and joining us here today.
Yeah, man. Thanks for, like I said, thanks for being Jeff today.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure. And John, thanks for joining me. And Brian.
Hey, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having
me. It is. Folks, we, in various capacities, will see you tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week. See you next time.